It took less time than some people thought for wolves to make their way back to Western Oregon after their reintroduction in Idaho more than 20 years ago. Gray wolves had been hunted to the point of extirpation in the region decades before. Now that they are back and increasing in number, the challenges are increasing for people who own livestock. How to keep their animal herds away from the wolves and let the wolves live their own lives. Livestock owners, biologists, and more are on the case. They'll gather in the Medford area next weekend to compare notes and techniques in a day and a half of meetings and workshops. And that gives us a chance to catch up on what's being done to deter wolves without killing them. Two guests join us in the studio. Steve Niemel is with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. He's the Rogue District Wildlife Biologist. Steve, welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to have you here. Randy Wolf is back with us as well. He's from the Jackson County Stockmen's Association. We talked to the Stockmen's Association for our Stories of Southern Oregon segment a few weeks ago. He's the vice president there, and he is also the chair of Jackson County's Wolf Compensation Committee. Randy, good to see you again.
Thank you. Good morning to you too.
So, Steve, give us the overview, if you would, of wolf numbers and activities in the region.
Yeah, so we have wolves in southwest Oregon. They're expanding, coming in over from eastern Oregon, where they're pretty well established now. So we have animals dispersing, getting calls from the public, pictures from the public. One thing people can always do if they see a wolf is go on to the ODFW wolf reporting form and give us some of that information. That's really critical to help us understand where they're distributing. But the main pack we have here in Southern Oregon, which is really the original pack in Southern Oregon, is the Rogue Pack. Most people are probably familiar with OR7. We have had about six wolves in that pack last year. We had some successful reproduction, so that pack has been a historically what we consider to be a breeding pair, and that's an important number in terms of our wolf conservation and management plan. We do all of our metrics based on the number of breeding pairs, and so far in our Western Wolf Management Zone, we've only had one breeding pair of wolves, and that's the Rogue Pack. But they've been successful for the last few years. The sort of downside of that is the Rogue Pack, unfortunately, has also become a pack that's been associated with a lot of depredations. There's been a lot of livestock killed both here and in Klamath County. And at this point, not associated with the Rogue Pack, but we've even had one probable depredation on sheep over on the coast in Curry County.
Really?
So so these animals are expanding. The Rogue Pack is really the one that we have pretty good numbers on, camera information. We're working really hard to get a collar out on those animals. We don't have them collared right now, but that's sort of what we know about wolves in the valley right now.
Well, the fact that you can't collar all the animals certainly impacts your ability to track them. So, I mean, a lot of the other stuff, as you point out, it helps when people tell you that they've seen wolves.
Yeah,
because you can kind of fill in the numbers.
Exactly. Yep. A lot of times what we observe as from our point of view working for the agency is we get a bunch of observations in an area and maybe one or two observations. Well, you know, people make mistakes, they misidentify things, you can't be certain. But usually, if you have wolves moving into a new area, you'll start to get a cluster of observations from the public, and then that gives us a point that we can go to and really start to verify. The other thing is now we're in hunting season. There's a lot of hunters out there, archery hunters right now. A lot of people have game cameras up. We'd love to get those game camera pictures, and in that wolf reporting form online, people can just upload pictures.
So, I mean, if you had a guess, I mean, at how many wolves we have west of the Cascades, how many would it be?
Well, you're going to have trouble getting a biologist to guess. So, right now, though, everything we do with wolf management at this point is based on known numbers. So mm-hmm. That means we have been able to positively identify an individual wolf as different than other observations. That's why our numbers are relatively low. People always say, well, we know there's more wolves than what you guys are reporting. Well, it's not that we're covering anything up. It's just we are going right by the numbers that we can show. We are working on a model that will be more predictive and will allow us to actually do an estimate. Still not a guess. It's, you know, based on parameters and models and statistics, but it's more of an estimate based more on we see this many wolves, that probably means we can expand it to some other number.
You referenced the reason that I asked the question in the first place, because we do get a lot of people
yep.
who say, no, I'm sure I saw wolves, and I know I saw one here, but unless you get some verification, you can't count on that number.
We can't count that number. But again, those reports from the public help us get to that number.
So, Randy Wolf, let's talk about the livestock owning in this environment. I mean, you got some warning, but it seems like the wolf expansion in Western Oregon perhaps happened a little sooner than people might have expected.
I think it did happen sooner, and there's probably more fear to this. You know, we know it's coming. We know they're out there, and that's one of the hard things for people is how do I protect my stuff when this is an animal that's virtually invisible to us because they hide very well. So that's part of what this workshop is about, is to bring them up to speed with what's happening, you know, what the rules are going to be, what they are, and how they can watch out, how they can get the feedback, how we can protect ourselves.
So on the Wolf Compensation Committee that you chair for Jackson County, has there been much paid out to livestock owners for wolf depredation?
We have had multiple claims that we've paid out, and I suspect that there would be more. I don't think everybody has taken advantage of this. Some of them may not want to, you know, share what's going on. Some of them are nervous about, you know, bringing that into light. I think it is very important that people realize, as Steve said, we need those sightings. We need that knowledge. We need the information so we can get the numbers right. Because, as he said, our counts probably aren't accurate to what's actually out there, but you can't count something that you're not sure of.
All right. So you want to know what's going on out there. What is the source of funds, by the way, for the Wolf Compensation Committees?
The funds comes down from the Department of Agriculture.
All right. So the legislature allocated some money for wolf depredation compensation.
Correct. It's not only compensation, but it's also money for deterrence.
All right, so there is some money up front. So we're talking prevention as well as just, you know, making good after an attack.
Exactly. So we can help with some of the deterrence. Several of the agencies are also getting involved. You know, as Steve's from Oregon Fish and Game, they get involved. USDA Wildlife Services, they're involved. Federal Fish and Game is involved. And some of those funds will help them with what we need to do to protect our animals.
We're talking about wolf deterrence, the kind that doesn't actually involve killing wolves, to keep wolves away from livestock, primarily with a focus in Jackson County, where there's a wolf update and predator deterrence workshop put on by Jackson County Health and Human Services coming up on Saturday, September 7th. We have with us Randy Wolf from the Jackson County Stockmen's Association and the Jackson County Wolf Compensation Committee. He's the chair. Steve Niemela is the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Rogue District Wildlife Biologist, and you can take part in the conversation. Questions, comments on what's going on with wolves. Welcome at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Do we have a hard number for depredation from the Rogue Pack in particular?
Yeah, I think we're, at this point, I think we're up to 13, including Jackson and Klamath County. We had one issue that was a little bit complicated in the sense that it was a domestic dog that was injured by wolves, but that doesn't technically qualify as a depredation because it wasn't associated with livestock. Depredations, by definition, are associated with livestock.
All right. So the fact that you got a dog injured indicates that the wolves certainly have some ability to overcome some of the obstacles thrown their way. I mean, I have to believe they're a highly adaptable animal. They swam the Snake River to get to Oregon, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they are highly adaptable. In that regard, we've actually had two dogs killed and one dog injured. So the two dogs that were killed were specifically on the ranch to guard livestock. Wolves are a very powerful predator. They are known to attack other canids, other dogs especially, so they are particularly hard on coyote populations, but they can cause trouble with domestic dogs when they're around, but certainly dogs associated with livestock as well.
So given the adaptability of wolves, Steve, do any methods that are developed work for long? Is it the kind of thing where something works for a while and then the wolves kind of figure it out and you have to move on to the next thing?
A lot of those techniques do have sort of a time span on which they work. And we'll get into a lot of that information on our workshop on September 7th. And people can register for that online. It's free registration. And we're going to really dive into all the details about that kind of stuff then. So we really want to get the word out, get people at the workshop. It's going to be a real good event. But there are things people can do right now. Bone pile collection. We have a fair amount of, as you mentioned, the path these wolves have taken through Idaho and Oregon to get to where they are now. A lot of those wolves luckily have had GPS collars on them, so we've been able to watch them as an agency move across the landscape. And one of the things we've seen is bone piles, areas that people haul carcasses off. That's often a stopping point. So picking up bone piles, that's something folks can do. But the temporary nature of the deterrence, yeah, we've tried a lot of different things. There is no silver bullet, per se, that's a perfect deterrent. So everything kind of has a time span and a situation in which it will work. And and a lot of times, wolves being smart, like you said, they will figure things out given enough time.
We had at least one caller so far who I can see from the comments from Randy. We're getting a little impatient with us in describing the kinds of things that that have worked so far. Randy, can you give us some examples of deterrents that have been used? I mean, other than things like pulling up the bone piles.
Well, and Steve may be more accurate with this, but I would say the primary use is the flattery, which is an electrified fence that's put up temporarily, and we with flags hanging on it, and we've had a decent amount of success with that as a temporary deterrent. Once they figure out how to get around it, how to get over it, well, then that goes away. I probably should send this over to Steve because he's the one that actually implicates all these deterrents.
Yeah, and we do it really through our partners at U.S. Fish and Wildlife and Wildlife Services. But basically, Randy's right. You know, flattery, which is an electrified fence with flagging off of it. The non-electrified version has been used in Europe for, you know, hundreds of years. It has a shelf life, basically. There's going to be a period of time where it works really good, but the more wolves get exposed to it, the more they're going to get familiar with it, and they're going to be able to get through it eventually. So, and the other key component, when you put these things up, they have to be maintained. It's really difficult. Flattery, by its nature, is a temporary deterrent. So, it works really well when it's up. Everything's working right, and for a short period of time. Similarly, everyone's heard about the air dancers, the dancing men that have been out there.
Right.
Those seem to have had a deterrent effect for maybe a period of time, but eventually wolves get used to that. We have these lights that are flashing. They flash in kind of an erratic pattern at night. That can also be a deterrent. But again, those are things that work temporarily. Of course, right now we're at the ranch that's had most of the problems. We're working on getting a fence built. Again, really, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they've been leading the charge on that. But that's more of a permanent solution. But again, it has to be maintained and put in properly.
When you talk about wolves being able to figure out an electrified fence, do they end up jumping over it or something?
Well, the flattery is a temporary solution, and it is essentially one wire. People would be surprised at how low it is, but it has a good deterrent effect. But it is by its nature something that they're going to figure out because it is a one strand. So they could easily get over it or get under it. But the flagging that moves in the wind really provides that visual barrier that for a period of time when they're not used to it will keep them out.
Do wolves have good memories? I mean, can you rotate the things? I mean, could you do an air dancer for a while, then when they get used to that, go to the flattery and then switch to something else, then sort of come back to the air dancer later on?
Yep, you can do things like that, but I think they probably do have good memories. Once a wolf figures out how to get through something, it probably will remember that. At least it probably won't work as well the next time, at least on that ranch for sure.
I want people to know when we're talking about air dancers, these are not people. These are the inflatable guys that you see at car lots.
Yep.
The whole thing with the big tube of air is dancing
right
around all day long. So those scared the wolves for a little while, but they even figured that one out?
Yeah, and the thing about that too is you can imagine flattery, you can wrap it around a perimeter of a property, but something like an air dancer, it's at a spot. And so ranches are large, and there's multiple ways wolves can enter a property. So again, these things, it's like you have a toolbox. No one tool is going to do the whole job. You got to have multiple options.
All right. It's not like when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Exactly.
You got to have other tools besides the hammer. We were talking to Steve Niemela from the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. He's the Rogue District Wildlife Biologist. Randy Wolf is here too from the Jackson County Stockman's Association and the Jackson County Wolf Compensation Committee. He's the chair. We're talking about wolf defense and things to get wolves away from livestock without killing wolves. There'll be a wolf update and predator deterrence workshop coming to the Jackson County Expo Park September 7th, Saturday. You can join the conversation right here, right now on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So, Randy, I can imagine that most people with livestock have been making some changes to routines over the years. How big a set of changes is that, if I'm correct in that there have been changes?
Well, I would say that they are trying to make changes. It is very difficult to make changes on operations that have been going on for generations, and everything's based around, you know, feed and climate and where the cattle have to move to, and so, but there is changes being made. As Steve said, this one particular ranch with the high deprivation, one of the changes is they're trying to get a permanent fence in so that they at least have some safe zones for them.
So obviously it needs an expenditure of equipment, but what about people? I mean, when you're talking about new procedures like this, does it take more people to run a ranch?
I think we're still in the mode where we're trying to figure that out, what we can do, how we're going to stay with it. And I think that there's some of the producers that are wondering if they're going to be able to continue. Nobody wants to be responsible for their animals and, you know, have them being killed by a predator.
I know when we talked to you guys by yourselves a few weeks ago about the history of the Jackson County Stockmen's Association, it was made clear that one of the reasons it exists is to help people who own just a few head of cattle. I mean, these are the people who are most concerned. I mean, they'd probably least be able to take a hit from a wolf.
And that's true. You know, I mean, the smaller your numbers are, the higher the percentage is when you do have a loss. And that's where the compensation committee has came in to help offset some of that. But it does not offset the stress. It doesn't offset the stress of the animal. You know, your pregnancy rates do be the stress of the predator there. But we are, as the Jackson County Stockmen, there to help small producers and large.
Have you guys had a chance to learn much over the years about configurations that work, you know, like density of cattle per acre or stuff like that? I know we talked to a fellow a couple of years ago who was talking about not training the people but training the cattle to make sure that they hang together so they don't present individuals to a wolf.
Yeah, there's been a lot of different techniques. You know, we're certainly not the first area to have wolves interacting with livestock. In Klamath Falls, earlier this year, there was another seminar over there that talked just about what you're talking about, those kind of techniques in terms of herd management. So those are out there. There's some resources available if people are interested in that. Again, the workshop is where we'll have really people. We'll have a rancher from Eastern Oregon that's had problems with wolves. We're going to be bringing in wildlife services to talk about non-lethal deterrence they know about. Folks associated with some wolf issues in Idaho will be there. So we're really bringing in people that have information from all over.
We talked a bit about some dogs that have been attacked by wolves. You mentioned two dogs killed, one injured, Steve. But have people been bringing in different dog breeds as well? I remember another segment we had last year or a year or a year before that about people bringing in these particular kinds of dog breeds that are really instinctively aware of what wolves do and deal with them.
Yeah, we'll have we have had really just one ranch that's had their guardian dogs killed, and those were mastiffs, so those very large dogs. But there are, you know, there are other ways to train dogs than how those particular ones were being used. There are multiple different breeds, so there's a lot of detail in terms of livestock dogs and how to use them appropriately. And there are ways to use them that aren't going to be as effective, that are perhaps making the dogs just vulnerable to predation by wolves.
And how do wolves respond to the presence of people? I know wolves are not the same as cougars, but I remember that experiment a few years ago where they played human voices for cougars and they wouldn't come near the speakers.
Yeah, traditionally wolves have been a very safe animal in terms of human safety. There have been a few incidents. There was one just a couple weeks ago, but across the history of the animal in North America, there are relatively few incidents with attacks on people. So, for example, just here in Ashland this summer, we've had attacks on people by deer. Mm-hmm. You know, cougars certainly in other states have caused trouble, and last year we had a fatality here in Oregon. Wolves have been associated with some human safety issues, but it's pretty rare.
But I mean, how about the concept of using the, you know, humans either in person or human voices recorded as a deterrent for wolves?
Well, recorded human voice, you know, like anything else we were talking about, wolves are pretty smart. They'll figure that out. But human presence on the on the landscape, so live humans out there, that's one of the best deterrents. But it has to be in the place and time that wolves are. So if people drive through an area during the day, that does not at all protect that area at night when wolves might be back. People have to be there when the wolves are there for it to work.
And Randy, you were talking about the level of fear that exists out there. I mean, you wouldn't be doing these workshops if you didn't think there was some hope to be able to deter wolves. So is there some sense of optimism that something's going to work or some set of things is going to work?
I think we're still in some early stages, and I don't think any of us have the answers. We have this set of obstacles put in front of us that we have to deal with, and we're trying to approach this the best that we can with the situation. From the rancher's point of view, I mean, this is a dire situation for them, and you know, we can't just make them go away. The wolves are here to stay. So we have to deal with it, you know, the best that we can.
Now, I know the state of Washington has wiped out entire packs in an effort to keep attacks on livestock under control. Is that an option even on the back burner in Oregon?
Well, in parts of Oregon it is, certainly. So Oregon's interesting. We have part of the state is still under full federal protection. Mm-hmm. There's an endangered species. That's where we are here in Western Oregon. In Eastern Oregon, they're not, in parts of it, and we have actually taken the decision to remove wolves that have been confirmed to be chronic depredating wolves. And that would be an option on the table here in Western Oregon, if not for the federal oversight. But also, I should say, even if there wasn't federal restrictions in that way, one of the steps you have to go through before that's even on the table is to do non-lethal deterrence. So
okay,
you never move to lethal until non-lethal has been attempted to its fullest extent.
All right. The Wolf Update and Predator Deterrence Workshop from Jackson County Health and Human Services at the Jackson County Fairgrounds, September 7th, Saturday, with a possible tour on Sunday. Steve Niemela from Oregon Fish and Wildlife, Randy Wolf from the Jackson County Stockmen's Association and Wolf Compensation Committee, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.